On this episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast, we're talking with our friend Francis DeSori about creating communities of hope.
Joel.
Andrew.
It is season 8.
Oh my goodness.
Episode 1.
Oh my goodness.
How has it been so long?
Where has the time passed? By the way, I did see, it came up in my memories on Facebook, I did see a photo of myself sitting in front of a laptop sketching out the first ever episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast recently.
That was the one introduction one, right? Where interviewed each other.
It was. And I had more hair. I can tell.
More hair?
Yep. I had the hairline had not receded quite as much. And so that tells you the time has passed. And we're wiser. We're better in touch with so many things in our lives. I'm more organized, more insightful.
I have more gray in my beard.
I often feel like, where did the time go? But we are here. We're excited to have each and every one of you along for the ride. And we're grateful that this is yet another season. We're kicking it off, kicking the new year off right, Andy.
Yes, we are.
You and I have talked about our feelings about New Year's resolutions,
how we
don't like them. We just want to say every year that hopefully we're getting better every year. Hopefully spiritually we're getting more in tuned. We're getting where we need to be. We're loving our family better, loving our kids better, all those things. But I refuse to make a resolution about that. And that's, and I feel like, by the way, our sermon this morning was around that. And I felt affirmed by yet another valuable voice in my life that just said, don't make resolutions. Just continue to strive at living a good life and just not being, not settling for the average. Right.
Right.
Okay. Great. Hey, it's been a great show. Everybody have a good night.
The thing I am resoluting, I can't talk today.
Yeah.
Which is bad for a show day, but is that you can now call our studio live.
No, you
can. Yes, you can.
Andy.
574-501-4467 will allow you to get into our live studio. Gosh. So we would love to have somebody call.
Is that something eventually that we'll have our fearless production assistant, Jamie/Marky Mark? he'll get to screen the calls eventually.
He will.
You're gonna have some real crackpots calling in.
We might.
We know our audience. We know. Hey everybody, we also wanted to say, though we are waiting on official sponsorships, we've been so blessed by the people that support this show and make it happen, because we got some bills that we have to pay every year for various technology things. We want to invite you, if you're any one of our friends, business owner, organization runner, whatever it is, and you want to be a sponsor of the Dudes and Dads podcast, glad to have you on board. Be sure to leave us a voicemail.
Yes, that same phone number.
Leave us a voicemail at
574-501-4467.
Fantastic. Or you could email us at dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com. Would love to make that connection. Always love to partner with area businesses, organizations that want to help us keep this thing on the tracks. Anything else you have, Andy? Because we're starting the year off strong with a real strong show notes. I'm just now making sure I'm checking everything off the list. Okay, great. Good. Wonderful.
Excellent.
Okay. Without any further ado, then we want to welcome our friend, Francis DeSori, who has graciously agreed to travel from distant lands within this county. But I've learned that sometimes when I tell folks from this area, like, hey, there's a place over in Elkhart, which for those of you that are from our national listeners, it's not terribly far away. They act like it's from here to the moon. So anytime someone drives over 5 miles to come and see us, I feel like they've achieved great things.
Right.
So, Francis, welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast. Glad to have you here with us. Thank you.
Privilege. Thank you so much.
He made the drive, and that alone tells me that he's a real winner. So, Francis, when this show is all about, as we've kind of mentioned before the show, this show is all really about, want to connect our community, the people that have kind of entrusted us to like share stories and connect resources with people and to help so many of our our folks are parents, or they are providing care for people. And so whenever we hear about an organization that we think just needs to get more press, that needs to get more exposure, needs to have their story told more, we want to jump at that opportunity. So you lead such an organization in our community that provides just an essential, necessary partnership with folks and essential services. So we want to talk about that and your work at Lexington House. But first, we just want to talk about you a little bit. We want to get a little information about you. So this is what we call the dad stats. So you're a father. You've got family. So we just want to tell us like all the nice little biographical information that you want to put out on the internet right now about yourself, your family, kind of where you come from, where you were born. Because I'm picking up on a vibe that he is maybe not a lifelong Elkhart County resident, but maybe we're going to find out. Well, we're going to be on the journey together. So tell us all the things you want to tell us about yourself and in your life, my friend.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Can do that. First of all, I go to bed about 7:30 p.m. So
we're keeping him up. Okay.
Obviously, the people who know me are like, you really must. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I would do the drive and stay up past my bedtime because 4 a.m. comes early. I'm an early riser and I win the morning.
Yeah.
Originally from northeastern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Grew up Italian American, excuse me. Grew up in a Catholic in a parish. And so family is six. My dad, working class, World War II vet, drove ambulance. For 4 years, active duty over in the Philippines and New Guinea. My mom was one of 14 or 15. I can't remember the math, but grew up in an orphanage and was a caregiver. So we have a family that's people of service. Mm-hmm. My sisters, I have four older sisters and an older brother. Brother served in the military. My siblings, nurses and or a school teacher and or a social worker.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is my pathway to serve and to serve our community. So I have a degree from Rutgers University, a master's degree in social work. Took back in the 80s, coming up on 40 years being a social worker, which I'm very proud of. I couldn't always say that because back in the 80s, being a male social worker.
Mm-hmm. You were your odd guy out.
I was the odd guy out. Yeah. That's true. But over time, very blessed. I have a godson who is a social worker. He got his degree from Columbia University out of New York. And my son has his degrees, master's from Indiana University of social work. And he does hospice work out in the Portland area.
Oh, wow.
And neither one and I have ever said, hey, go be a social worker. Mm. I said, go make money.
Yeah.
Or, marry rich.
Yeah,
and so both of them have done well, but they have found fulfillment in their lives. Mm. And so when we get together, and I enjoy their company. And so it wasn't too bad of a choice to go into social work.
Yeah.
Originally, I was looking at the seminary back through high school because I went to parochial school. And I was like, oh, that's a good pathway. It just did not feel right to me. I pursued some athletics. And then I realized, well, five concussions in football, probably not the best way to go. And that was way before the knowledge we have today. So I'm like, no, academics is the best way to go. Finally, since we were talking a little bit of Francis, since you asked, and I really don't like talking about Francis, impact for me is during my high school years in early 80s, definitely during my graduate years. I was a caregiver, co-caregiver with mom for dad, who back in those days, Alzheimer's was a new term in early 80s. Hardening of the arteries were really the term. But working class, row home. So dad stayed home and we took care of him throughout almost 1980s till about 1988. So that was my high school, college, and graduate. That was my relationship as a caregiver with mom. My older siblings were out and they were having their families and I was at home. Made a huge impact for me on appreciation of life and has led me to move into the field that I'm in now and working in mental health, brain health, with adults who have a history of severe persistent conditions, but eventually led me down the road to working at a clubhouse. And clubhouses really are about bringing life back into people and like, let's work on the strengths. Let's have a need to be needed.
Yeah.
Rather than, what's your illness? Because we're human beings and that's clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that about the model. I spent a lot of my time, my profession, first 38 years, hard to believe that's gone past, mostly in high acuity work, working first responders, working at state hospitals, work for two great nonprofits here in the Elkhart area, one being Oakland Psychiatric mm-hmm. Center, which I work a good chunk of my career, and also for Faith Mission of Michiana
yeah.
During the pandemic, which was really interesting time, which
what a nice way to put that. Yeah.
Between those two experiences, I grew up a lot and was ready to take on this next pathway of stewarding Lexington House.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of people don't know about Elkhart County, we're really rich.
Mm.
Rich in kindness and humanity.
Mm.
And it is proof. And I hear me out. There's 330 to 350 clubhouses around the world. The model's been around since 1948. Obviously, something's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the United States is about 220. And in Indiana, there's 11 clubhouses. You know how many clubhouses Elkhart County has?
No.
Wrong answer.
I'd say two.
Oh, two would be a good answer, right? Because there are. So why does this county have two clubhouses?
Yeah.
Right? There's 92 counties in Indiana.
And we have two of the whatever.
Yeah. What does that say about Elkhart County and the communities of Goshen and Elkhart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're Caring County.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the means, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because it is back to that richness of kindness in our humanity. So I will share a little bit about Lexington House because that's what I want to talk about.
So just specifically, you've talked about this clubhouse model and it's a national model. There's certification, accreditation sort of things. And then it's expressed specifically within these clubs that are in communities. So yeah, break that down for us.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the clubhouse in general. And then
absolutely. So clubhouse is an international, I was giving you the globe look rather
international.
Than Indiana.
Gotcha.
And with it, it starts with a need to be needed and a supportive community. Started in 48 out of New York City. Some individuals, so the folklore goes, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty accurate. Some individuals got discharged from a state hospital just north of Manhattan, started meeting at the steps of the library. And they said, hey, people don't really get us. And I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't there, but mm-hmm. I read enough and have heard enough in clubhouse world saying they don't get us. We need to support each other for employment, housing, and, you know, they don't get us.
Mm-hmm.
We're human beings. We're not our diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
not the illness. So eventually something came out of it called Fountain House. And Fountain House is the flagship of the clubhouses. It's in Hell's Kitchen. I think it's on 47th Street on the west side. And it was a donation of a property that had a fountain in the back. And so it began. And clubhouse has really picked up traction in the 50s, where they got some structure, they added some staff rather than just people coming together and saying, hey, we got to support each other, but how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 80s, they really took off. Took off means people said, there's value here. And mm-hmm. what is the value? The real win is for people to come to clubhouse and not be alone. And I've been in the game a long time, and I've worked on the full gamut of mental health for adults. Being alone is not okay, especially if you have a condition that's starting to become ill. Mm-hmm. So the episode for a mental health situation could arise quickly.
Mm-hmm.
By coming to club, you're not alone. Guaranteed mm-hmm. there's going to be somebody there. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do treatment at club. We link you to the systems. I mean, the nice thing about Lexington House is that we're five blocks from the Oakland 2600. The Goshen Clubhouse is right near here, Lakeview area, which is the main hub for Oakland. we will help if we can to get people there. If not, we will call for the necessary need to get people there. And Oakland has this great system. They will come out.
Mm-hmm.
What a great community we live in, right?
Yeah.
And so Clubhouse, the win is, if you come here, you won the day.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than staying at home, or what you call home, sleeping like a good chunk of the day in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, again, that takes a lot of courage to come. So I'm inspired every day I go to work,
because
I don't see it as it is work, right? But at the end of the day, I get inspired every day people come in. I'm like, we're gonna have fun here. And then they say, what do you do at a club? Do you play games? Do you do arts and craft? That's a day program.
Mm-hmm.
The one element about mental health is that it doesn't discriminate. And what I mean, it doesn't discriminate, is that we have an amazing group of people who come to club because they come from all aspects of our community,
mm-hmm.
and they bring such talents and gifts and energy. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
So what do they do at a club? They run the business of Clubhouse in the work order day. You come to club, people say, what can I learn about club? Right.
Yeah.
Best way to come for a tour. We're open 8 to 4. Most clubs are, because we simulate a work order day.
Okay.
You show up. We'll show you. You'll see a lot of whiteboards, because we only have 2 meetings a day. And the meetings are who's going to do what. Everything's voluntary at a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells you what to do. So you don't have to do anything. Showing up is the win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
All things are possible post. But if I can start doing some things like I used to do, oh my. Confidence builds, resiliency comes back, color comes back into you, and saying, if I can do this, I can do that.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm speaking, I'm very passionate about
it. We love it.
Right? Yeah.
So use the term color comes back into life. I love that image, because for so many, they're kind of living in this gray, black and white world where kind of the color has been drained out of their life. They're not feeling the excitement and vibrancy of, number one, of being able to sort of to affect their own lives positively. They feel like they're kind of, because I mean, from hearing from stories from folks, it's kind of like, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know the way back to kind of living my own life and experiencing, you know, I knew what happiness or joy in life was maybe at some point. I remember that, but it just seemed like that was like out of reach. And then I came to club, and then I'm with these other people. I have a community now.
Mm-hmm.
I have purpose. I'm needed there. And then I'm building these skills. I'm building skills back. I'm gaining confidences back. And then this kind of,
it's like that snowball, right?
Yeah,
where as you do something and you get more confident, then you can do more. And,
And I just have to imagine that getting to see that sort of thing on a regular basis, to see that, that process of color coming back to people's lives. I mean, that's pretty inspiring, I think.
Yes. So you can think that and I'll confirm it.
Yeah.
Two really quick examples.
Mm.
Clubs are open on major holidays. And so Christmas this year, New Year's, clubs open 10 to 2. We are a work family. So for those who don't have family or don't have access to their biological family or what they consider, they come in the club.
Mm-hmm.
And I really took note this year. We have moved to our new location because we're a business that has grown in 5 years. I will talk maybe at the end a little bit about that, because it's a business and you have to grow a business, right?
Yeah.
Or you're out of business.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is like to sit back and watch individuals come in and to have fun, enjoy other people's company, laugh. I was looking around and I was like, we played bingo. We had pizza bingo for New Year's, and we created our own subs and we did some coloring and some other work. You said, well, that sounds like club. I said, we're not in work order day. It's a holiday. Just like all families, you don't do work on holidays.
Right.
You have fun and enjoy each other's company. And we had so much fun. People were laughing and I'm like, I've enjoyed when some of Oakland staff have dropped by the club, because they see people in different outfits.
Okay.
you know, we are so blessed to have an Oakland Psychiatric Center, Community Mental Health Center, and they're working on the, imagine if you're not in one of those 92 counties that don't have one of those, what do you do then? Mm-hmm. Right. We have, or a Faith Mission of Michiana. We have a lot of very good resources. Mm-hmm. So both Christmas and New Year's of this year, I was like, we're in a home, which has been converted into a clubhouse. Person out of Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne has a clubhouse, carriage house. It's really the flagship. It's the largest one. They average about 37, 38 people a day. We do about 17, but we're down a kitchen unit, which we've had to renovate and create a kitchen unit, which involves a capital campaign and health department and all that piece. Oh. We're almost there. We're going to be there by February 1st. So our attendance will jump for that. But people are saying, you're an anomaly. Clubhouses usually start with kitchens. We're like, we really start with people coming together because they want to be connected with people. And we're proving that because we saw it during the, our clubhouse, the Lexington Clubhouse, started September 3rd, 2020.
No.
What a time to start a nonprofit.
Yeah.
who wants to start a nonprofit? Yeah. Right? So get a call from Clubhouse International. From a person who's been with them a long time says, so I have one question from him. Serge, really nice guy, came and did an accreditation for us later. And he goes, so why are you opening a nonprofit in the middle of why everybody's shutting down a nonprofit? And here's what I said to him. I'm going to say it tomorrow at the Rotary, Elkhart Rotary. I'll be talking about our 5-year anniversary. This is Elkhart County. What better time to add light to the hope? We have not forgotten.
Yeah.
And we opened with $4,000, probably about 3 or 4 pending members, right? And River of Life Church, outstanding, again, a resource in the community at that time. They said, hey, nobody, we can't have funeral, da da da. We can't have wedding. We have all the space. We're like, we can use that. Mm-hmm. And we became really good at virtual clubhouse.
Oh, wow.
Because nobody else could. So we, playing field was even among all the other clubhouses. Yeah. Nobody else knew how to do it. And we're like, we do, and we don't have any bad habits because you guys have them because you've been running a clubhouse. So we grew, and we have grown significantly. Our budget is about, not about, FY26 is going to be 300 and roughly 58,000, right? We have 4 staff full-time, which is awesome.
Awesome.
We have an incredible board. I cannot say more. We just do. They get it. They're a working board. I rate them A+. People, A+ board. I'm saying I would go higher. They just get in it and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Our partnerships, we have a good solid 12 base. Some go, some come, but some stay very consistent, like an Oaklawn, like Faith Mission, the Excel Center, which I don't know if you guys know about the Excel Center. It is a gem of Elkhart. It is an adult high school that if you have only need a few credits or if you need a lot of credits, come be part of it. And it's free. It's underwritten by Goodwill.
Okay.
And they have done incredibly good work.
Yeah.
And they are, we both had wings at the church. They had one wing, we had the other, and eventually we both left almost at the same time. Yet we are only about 2 blocks apart because we stayed in our community. And it's really been great.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of our community.
Talk to me about, because I've heard you very clearly on it's not about diagnoses. It's about the purse. It's about the person. Tell me the sort of person, kind of maybe a typical story or something of the type of person that is coming and being a member at your clubhouse. Cause I know there's a variety of folks, but kind of in generalities, what has that person's experience been up to the point that they've come to clubhouse and like, what are they kind of, how are they getting their feet wet and kind of jumping in and getting involved? What tends to be kind of the general experience of someone?
Okay. Before I get to that answer, I would just want to throw out just for the audience to be a clubhouse member, 18 or over, and a history of mental illness.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't ask you to bring in to verify.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there does come into question, we'll ask, hey, have you been medically diagnosed by a professional? But we start right out of the box with, we take you for your word.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you 18 and do you have a history? because that's only for the integrity of the people who are in that clubhouse saying, okay, sure, we all get it. We've all known need and dignities and what range we've all gone through, but you're in the club because we all get. So who's going to make the coffee? Who's going to take care of doing the social media? Who's going to check Facebook? Who's going to write? That's club, because we get busy with the work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody puts the other stuff aside. Give you a good story. I just talked to him recently. One of our first, actually the first, Clubhouse, once you start coming, we have platforms within the system. One of the platforms is employment. We're not a lot of employment, but we help people. With our transitional employment, we have partnerships that we said, hey, we will have a job there. Our staff will go out, train this person for that. The employer doesn't lose any money because the staff of the clubhouse knows how to do the job. So if they call in, the staff goes in and covers the shift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Pretty good deal, right?
Yeah.
So one of our first persons who went through TE, transitional employment, and 6 to 9 month part where you have someone, and I happen to be a person on site with him, working with him in Kroger. And he was about 25 and 30. And it was his first job where he would draw down a paycheck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know how to get there because he didn't know he couldn't drive, didn't have a car. So I didn't do it for, it's with. So there were some challenges in the going through, and I have the challenges today. If you ever go looking for a job, everything's online. It's not like pad and pet anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So there were some challenges. We were able to work through some of the challenges. He worked for about 2.5-3 years. He's now working for, and I will say it, he's working for the city.
Yeah.
Of Elk, are doing really well.
Yeah.
Loves his job.
Yep.
In the meantime, he now has his driver's license and he has his own vehicle.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Yep.
You'll see, if you choose to, our new marketing video that's coming out, he even comments, they helped him get a job. I'm like, we not just get, but you have maintained work for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have your own vehicle. And one of the things he shared with me, he goes, I don't have to be so dependent on my benefits now because I can do for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you were hunting.
Yep.
I'll give you another story. If you went to our website and you see the videos that are there, one of the stories is about an individual who, when you're ill, you lose a lot of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go out and be among people. It's a lot easier to just stay in bed for 12, 15 or 18 hours. And then you get up and say, I'm kind of tired. I've been sleeping all this time. Mm-hmm. This individual had some of that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of courage to come to Clubhouse. We'll share with her family saying they get her at club. Mm-hmm. We don't get her.
Mm-hmm.
This individual now probably sleeps only 8 hours a day and
is
interacted with other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And does great things within our system, runs our ledger, which is our newsletter. And her talents are incredible.
Yep. And not to put too fine a point on it, but in that same video, if I'm thinking of the right story, I think I am, has overtly said, without Clubhouse, I'm not here anymore.
Okay, Joel, you get a point. I've been marking you. I'm not going to go over here now, Mark. I am going to go there. But I'm impressed. You did your homework, both the Community Foundation, the podcast there, but you've also gone and done some homework on us.
Yeah.
To me, that's fulfillment.
Golly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like this, and for people listening, and number one, if any of our, because we know this, that we have a listening community that has friends and family members that have these kind of needs that have these stories. We absolutely know that. And I think for any family, there's a fear. When my years and years ago, when my brother was younger, I mean, some would be similar story, sleeping multiple hours a day, was, diagnosed with acute agoraphobia and had like some significant challenges. And I remember we as a family feeling, number one, powerless to it felt like we weren't sure, in that season of his life. I mean, and things are so great. Things are so great now, so different, but like, these would have been his adolescent years. You're like grasping at straws. You're just like, what can we possibly do to help this person. Also fully acknowledging we didn't fully get him. We didn't have a way of like, cause we didn't know other people that were going through the same thing that he was necessarily. Right. So yeah, he's maybe seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist or, you know, doing these sort of things. And we're trying to address those, you know, you're trying to address that kind of thing. But it, you know, when I hear stories of people say, I found purpose and that's why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. Like I was surrounded with these people and that is why I'm here. That is nothing short of, I mean, it's a miracle that Lexington House or any club like that would come into play in a person's life and that they've gone from such a place of darkness and hopelessness to like turning a corner like that. Like that's amazing. But for a family, a support system to see that happen, like, so you're like, you know, I would say you're ministering to two, you know, you're ministering to the family and to the, and to the person as well, because man, oh man, like watching someone you love and care about struggle that way. And just being like, I don't get it. You know, like, I don't know what else I can do. When you find a community that does get it, it's huge.
One of the greatest compliments Lexington House has received came from the Community Foundation of Elkhart County. And they're great partners with us, and they came over and checked us out. And the feedback that we got is that you have a culture of kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just don't talk it, but when you walk in, it is there.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to be there? I mean, the world's hard enough out there, mm-hmm. right? And coming to a place where people get you doesn't mean we're providing or we replace traditional mental health treatment. I'm all in on that. Yeah. Please do not misunderstand. Club does not replace that. We enhance that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it gets a place to grow, get that confidence back in the game. It also gets the resiliency up, which is hope.
Yeah.
Like if I can do this, I can do that. Like the gentleman who's now working or the individual who's not sleeping. You saw the video. It's mm-hmm. so touching. Yeah. And I know I'm not here. One of my roles, which I'm very, I stay in my lane because I do. It's their stories. It's not mine. And I don't tell their stories without permission.
Yeah.
And they do. And I love when they tell them, but I know their stories because they've shared them and I've seen people come in our door and I know them and I get to know them as human beings and I know their backstory and I get to meet their families. I had a situation just recently where one of our members was not having a good day and came to club and said, I need some assistance. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we help that individual get to that assistance because we were his working family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, later on, the family circled back and said, thank you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, oh, thank you. It was so moving that the club was there. And I'm like, well, yes, Clubhouse works, doesn't work for everybody, right? But for those who do use it, people grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I go back to Elkhart County. Take a hard look at the people who make up Elkhart County, and particularly in, I don't ever want to put down Napanee or some of the other small, because we are all in this together, right? But Goshen has a clubhouse. Mm-hmm. It was the first clubhouse in the county. And they were known as the Elkhart County Clubhouse. And they said, eventually Elkhart will get one. Well, it took a pandemic to help bring us out, but we arrived. Now, Poor Dale is the clubhouse in
downtown Goshen.
Oh, they're top shelf.
Yeah.
I think they're in their 12th year.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just blessed, but it goes back to Elkhart County and the soil being rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to speak, like just being the way that the Elkhart County Foundation comes in and says, you guys have a spirit and a feeling of hope and community and like all of that stuff. Like that just kind of goes to say, like, yeah, you are legit, right? You're not just manufacturing this to manufacture it. Like that's something that you can't manufacture. And yeah, to see that come through, it rubs off and it gives that sense of community for those who are involved with the club also. Like you said, you know, that's what you exist for.
So, and I would say, so Francis, the other question I have is, because we're talking about all these great positive things that happen, there's challenges at Lexington House as well. I'm just, as a leader myself of an organization, nonprofit work, I can just generally say that to be true. But you know, what are the challenges? I mean, from your seat specifically, leading an organization, and thinking, man, if I had a magic wand, you know, and you could address those challenges overnight and fix them, I'm sure you would. But what are the sticking points for you in the job and the work? Like, what concerns you? What do you see organizationally that you're like, you would hope, and from a perspective of like calling other people in our community to action, to a point, to sort of make the club, take the club to its next chapter, to its next level, to improve it in some sort of way. What are the challenges?
Sustainability.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
I mean, I come from the school that the challenges are really the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started in a pandemic.
Mm.
Our resiliency is how and a resolve was built.
Mm.
So the challenge only makes us stronger. But without the support of our partnerships, and we have great partnership, and we have great donors. I mean, just when, you know, finance, without financing, it is challenging, right? Yeah, sure. I mean, without financing, you're not going to keep the doors open. You can't have full staff.
Right.
So Clubhouse Lexington, I'll speak for Lexington House because it's a business. Our budget I just talked about. So 1/3 of the budget is about grant. So we have good grant writing, right? Better than good is about 100,000 mm-hmm. plus in grant writing, but you have no guarantees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's change in currents in grant writing, right? Then there's fundraising. We have the Monarch Gala, which we started growing in the garden here in Goshen, but now it's at the Crystal Ballroom downtown in Elkhart.
Date and time for next gala?
It is February 7th, and I brought you a handout for that.
Beautiful.
You know, side note, to run a nonprofit and do a fundraiser, you know how many fundraisers there are?
A lot.
So we hit a kind of a blind spot in fundraising. We didn't know it at first, but then eventually we're like, hey, this is going to work, and we're sticking with it. Day before the Super Bowl, there's only one other game in town, and it's the Spa. They do a huge fundraiser, 800-900 people go, and it's out at the RV Hall of Fame. And we like Spa. We've coordinated. We're the other game because we're at the downtown at the Crystal Ballroom. So between the two of us, we're the two biggies on that particular day before the Super Bowl, where people are kind of saying, we're ready to go.
We got
some energy. And so it's been nice. We've also created a second fundraiser, and because we've maturing as a business. And we said, so what can rival the Crystal Ballroom down there and being part of the 100-year anniversary and all that piece downtown Elkhart? Wellfield Botanic Gardens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which, if you haven't been to Wellfield, I've done two events there here recently, and I'm like, this is a gem. This place is absolutely fantastic. And I haven't even, quite honestly, I haven't even been there in the best part, like in the summer when everything is like out, like that alone. So absolutely.
It really is.
Yeah.
And we have a partnership with them. We've developed it. And our second fundraiser is in late summer, early fall. It's called Flutterfest.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
And nice. We had this awesome band that came up. They just happened to be in Indiana, and they were just below Indianapolis doing a tour. And one person on our board says, because he's in the music industry, and said, hey, we made a connection, and they're willing to drive up and do the gig. And we're like, yes. And they just rocked it. They were in music from the 1980s.
Nice.
So you guys were probably not born in the 80s.
I was born.
We were both alive in the 80s. Andy was more alive in the 80s.
I was born in 79, the very last half of 79, but I was born in 79.
So your family may have played some music for the 80s, right?
Absolutely.
For us who grew up in the 80s, it was like, these people get it, and they rocked it. And
that's awesome.
The beautiful stage system they have now at the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It rivals anything you see in Chicago or any very large city. So kudos to them. So we're planning to have another one.
Beautiful.
So fundraising, grant writing, and then we have straight up donations. our donation window starts with a massive car, Christmas card that we send out, not the card being massive, but mailing for about 400 of our community. Just give them an update where we're at. We have an insert, which you'll see later. For those out there saying it's, go to our website, you can see it. And it gives you information about the clubhouse, as a QR code. I love these little QR squares, like just put your card, bang, you're there, as well as for the gala. And we just remind people, thank you. We don't ask. Mm-hmm. We just say we're out here. And if you want to know more about us, please visit us.
Yeah.
So we start in November and we finish
Real quick, let me interrupt you. Can you give the website so the people listening can go right to it?
I can.
Okay.
Would you like me to do it?
I would love
now?
You to do it.
God, you're fun. LexingtonHouse.org.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. I thought so. I didn't come up with it. One of the members did. And they did all the back work to get all that. I'm like, you guys are really smart. And they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's their club.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So financials, you get a big challenge, right? Small day-to-day challenges. There are challenges that periodically come on at club. The nice thing is, just like normal families or work environments, we sort it out. If someone's not having a good day, we sort it out. Mm-hmm. Dignity is part of our mission statement. And people know that. And we work it. And so overall, I would say Lexington House has a culture of kindness. I'll validate what I heard from our guest, Kevin Deary from the Community Foundation of Elkhart County, would say, Francis, culture of kindness, you guys do it. I'm like, we do. That doesn't mean there's not challenges. And then there's the day-to-day challenges. Give you an example. We're in a major renovation at the clubhouse, right? We have two bathrooms. That was the first thing I said when we bought this place. I said, we need two bathrooms. And one of them really has to be ADA. So I get in there, and we only had 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we had to leave our lease at River Life. And things are getting really tight, right? And I'm like, we're going in the mini. So I'm doing, and we'll talk about transport. How are we doing on time? I know
you're good.
All right. So I'm driving down Hively to go pick up people on our run. We do like an 8-block run of our van to pick up people, and only in the morning and then in the evening. And if they want to go home, they can walk or they can Uber or they can take the trolley because there's a trolley spot. Anyway, I see this Bradley sign right outside of Holmes Insurance, right next to Wendy's. I'm like, I've never seen that building before. It just disappears. But there was this huge Bradley sign. I'm like, I'm going to call. So person Bradley wasn't available. It went right to the owner. Never happens in real estate. Mm-hmm. We closed in 30 days.
Amazing.
Right? That's how grace moves through. And this is the story of Lexington House. Mm. People ask, you're not on Lexington House. You're not on Lexington Boulevard. How'd that happen? What's that all about? I'll tell you that in a minute if you like. But back to the first piece, Lexington House is the grace that goes through the people who make up Lexington House. It is not me or the board. It is all of us. And it starts with the members and it really starts with the soil of Elkhart County.
That's amazing. Yeah. So when talking about, Lexington House with, you know, our community members, I think the things that I'm hearing are number one, people should come and take a tour.
At least take a tour
and see. I've been through one clubhouse over in South Bend. I've gotten a tour there, and I need to make more Lexington House. I should say, because I will be at the Monarch Gala on February 7th, and I'm really excited to see the event. I'm also donning some special attire. I'm zeroing in.
Now you're peeking my interest.
Yeah. Because the Monarch Gala, it's a butterfly theme, and I.
So you're coming as a butterfly?
You nailed it, Andy. Way to go. Way to go.
I mean, sorry, I spoiled it.
Cat's out of the bag. But I'm going to be there, and I'm really, really excited. But because the thing we want to do is we just want to invite people, any interaction they can have, any exposure to Lexington House, just to get a flavor for it, to see it, to feel it. Because I think once you do experience it, it's not something that leaves you easily. I think it makes a pretty consistent, you know, impact culture wise, kind of what you formed. But yeah, that's, I mean, that's what we want to encourage people toward is just, is take a look. Maybe you know somebody that could really benefit from entering into that community and entering that experience. Maybe you are somebody who are like, hey, I've been looking for a nonprofit to support and I've got money burning a hole in my pocket. I know all of you are there, especially right after the holidays. You're just flush with extra cash, but, you know, any number of ways, kind of providing sustaining support, financially or, you know, with other resources is, and I should ask, apart from the financial piece, are there other, like on like donation wise or other like tasks or things that can be done that, that can be volunteered at the Lexington House?
So, clubhouses, Lexington falls into that umbrella, is a unique nonprofit. We don't do volunteers. Because if the work can be done, it can be done by the members of the college.
Which is, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, there is one carve out. So for the people out there in the audience listening, our board members are all volunteer.
Okay. Yep.
And we are currently looking for at least one position, possibly two. Our board is 13. We are at 10. And on our board, which is very common in clubhouses, that two members sit on the board.
Yeah,
we have one vacancy. We'll be filling from that piece. But also think about that.
Yeah.
It's their club. They have a right to be on the board and they're voting member.
Yeah.
Great.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Love that.
So if Elkhart's too far, I'm always going to push out for Cordell.
Mm-hmm.
For us to take the roots that we have. We had to lean to SJC, St. Joe County Clubhouse, which I worked there a whole year prior to coming over here because I wanted to learn the clubhouse model. And I did. I had really good mentors there. But Rich and Erich, Rich Meyer, who was the founding director and just recently retired, but Rich will always be part of their fabric. And Erich, who's now the director. Cordell House, just go for a visit. It's not for everybody. But people say, what do you do here? Come on in. You figure it out. It may be for you, may not be for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess, you know, when we're talking about Lexington House, we're talking about your experience. What has your engagement with Lexington House? How has it changed you personally as a leader? What would you say is the kind of the presiding impact for you personally?
So I'm coming up on 38 years as a social worker, professional social worker. And where I am in my career, people say, well, you're in the back half. I've had some great people who have mentored me who are now have moved on to reinventing themselves. So they're teaching me reinvent yourself. I work primarily on high acuity. That means when people get really ill and how it impacts it all. I've had the privilege of working as the gatekeeper to the state hospital system from Oakland. I worked with CIT, Crisis Intervention Team, helped develop that system with people who now have taken it to a whole different level with first response. A lot of that takes out of you a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to be at a clubhouse, it re-energizes my spirit. Like when I took note and I've learned to smell the roses and take a moment to be in the moment. And at Christmas and New Year's, I took that and I just sucked it in. I said, we have built something really good here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been echoed by a few people who have sent that back to me and said, this is why it was. I'm like, it goes through us. It is not us. It goes through us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as long as I can continue doing this, we just finished up doing our strategic plan and succession planning because, you know, shelf life of a director, you put a lot out there, but eventually you got to say shelf life's over. But we are working on developing some for the next generation. So the big challenge, sustainability, which I said earlier in this conversation, is that the real proof of our leadership is not now. It will be after us.
Mm-hmm.
The trees being planted, not for our shade.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Love it.
Well said. Well, you know, Andy, we can't let any guest finish up an interview without a really special segment we like to call.
And now it's time for the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz.
Thank you so much. So, Francis, as I tried to warn you about earlier, this is a section of our show where we ask random questions.
In fact, so random, I have a whole deck of cards.
You actually have a deck.
They are bringing a real deck here.
I've got an actual deck. Well,
and you know what? To start this one off, I'm going to ask Mark, our production assistant here. He actually has a mic this time. So welcome, Mark. Ask your question.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mark. Go for it.
So I pulled a card from the deck.
Ooh.
And it was not good enough.
Okay.
So the random question is,
I love it. He's gone in typical Dudes and Dads podcast form. He's gone off the rails already. He's making his own trail. I'm excited. Here we go. Yep.
Okay. If Abraham Lincoln was your brother, what would you guys do for fun?
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Probably go fishing.
Attaboy.
All right.
Okay. I bet Abe was into some fishing. He's an Indiana, Kentucky,
guaranteed,
Illinois boy. He knows some fishing.
Guaranteed.
For sure. Fantastic. Yes. Francis, my question to you. If you were to have a sandwich named after you, what is on that sandwich?
Oh, boy. It's really interesting you brought that up, because at club, I have hummus on a pita bread thing. Uh-huh. That's what I get.
Okay.
Because my goal for me is that I want to make the 100, be 100 years old. So
okay.
I'm watching what I'm loading in now. So what would be named? Probably 100 century.
Okay.
Sub.
Okay. It's the 100 century sub. Yes. And I want to say, by the way, I believe he, in all of our guests, and we've asked this question many a times, the sandwich question comes up frequently. I want to say that Francis is the first time to ever mention hummus.
I believe
guest. Which,
so congratulations.
Congratulations.
I did it first.
You've introduced hummus into the conversation.
Right. All right. What is your favorite gadget?
My favorite gadget. That's a really good question. I'm really into tools. So I got to say a crowbar.
Okay.
It's amazing what one can do with a crowbar.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So many things.
The number of times I've been like, if I just had a crowbar, for sure. That's happened. Hey, do we want to, let's, you know what? Mark asked a fantastic question time around. We're gonna give him another shot. We're going to see if we can up the weirdness on this one. Mark, what's your next question?
We threw him off.
The deep breath.
He's got
to
think.
You're going to have to give me a minute.
We'll come back to me.
I'll come up with something.
You got another one, Andy?
What are you most excited about right now?
Ooh.
Most excited about right now. Being here with you all past my bedtime, having a lot of fun.
Nicely done.
At 5 a.m. tomorrow morning when I'm in the pool, I'll be thinking about you guys. I may even give you a call.
All right. Hey.
Okay. Here's mine. Francis, because I also done some research on you, and not in a creepy way, you are a runner. I know this. Favorite running shoe. What do you go to?
Oh, Brooks. I've been in a plus 25.
Mm-hmm. And do you hear Mark?
Uh-huh.
Mark, can you confirm? Mark? First of all, Mark, Mark, are you a runner?
I am not a runner, not even, I'm barely a walker. I did, in fact, work at a sporting goods store.
Okay, that's
in the shoe section.
Okay.
I've done some research, Brooks.
It was recommended to me a while ago, as a larger individual, the Brooks Beast does pretty well for the bigger runners. If I understand correctly,
you wouldn't be wrong.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, confirmed. Okay. Brooks it is. Okay.
Mark, are you ready yet?
I'm ready.
All right. Go
for it, Mark.
What is in the back seat of your vehicle?
Cleanliness.
Oh.
It's one of the upsides of being OCD, one of my characteristics, not who I am, but what I do. My kids just drive me crazy because they get in, Dad, you have this car, it's a 2008 Rondo, and it's clean.
Yeah.
Cleanliness is in the back of my vehicle.
That's what's in the back of his seat. I love
me, that. Yeah, me too.
Sure.
Me as well. Five kids.
Clean
as a whistle.
I could put a whole bag of fries together.
I may have a person living in the back seat of my, I don't know. So
We wouldn't know for days.
OCD, not one of my strong suits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
All right, Francis, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Ooh, there's one.
Ooh, that's a really good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be in the moment, obviously, is one. The other one is respect your elders. That's the only way you become one.
Mm. Oh, nice. Nice.
It sounds like a threat. Like it's the only way that you're going to become one is if you respect them.
Well, they know things that you want to learn, and they're forgetting things. And like, I want to learn from them. And I have learned some great teachers have shown me how to reinvent, how to move it forward. You talked about running, really quick piece. I mean, you really get humbled when you get passed by, because like in triathlon, I do tries, people have their numbers on how old you are on the back. And, you know, I was in my 40s and I'm like, wow, look at me. I'm up in Madison doing a piece. And this individual came by and I'm like, hey, we only have, you know, two more laps, two more, you know, 6 point whatever mile to go around. We're done. She goes, Sonny, I'm done. And then she went by. She was like 65 in the back of her calf. I'm like, boy, I just got humbled. Man. And that's what I love about the sport, because it's all, you know, right? And anyway, yeah, that was, she has a lot to teach me.
That's awesome.
Joel, you got one? Are you good?
Let's end with a really really profound one. Francis, what do you want said about you at your funeral?
Give the cliche that I ended on E, but made a contribution that the world is a better place by what I contributed.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Wonderful.
Well, awesome. So you've successfully passed the quiz.
Way to go, Francis. Nailed it. And I will say, Mark, I like this dynamic, man. Because it's like Andy and I kind of know the sort of questions we ask, but we added an element here.
That
was, we didn't even know what was going to happen, and total dudes and dads fashion, it all came together. So thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody, we want to say a big thank you again for tuning in. You can head over to dudesanddads.com for previous episodes, this episode's show notes. We'll have all of the Lexington House details over there at dudesanddads.com. Upcoming events, ways you can connect. Would love for you to check that out. What else, Andy?
You can call our voicemail number.
You can.
574-501-4467 and leave us a voicemail. You won't wake us up at 5 when you call us. That number tomorrow.
Yeah, just leave a message. It'll go to voicemail. We won't, whatever. dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com is the email address where you can contact us with further show notes, ideas, pithy comments, harsh rebukes, whatever you're in the mood for.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, friends, thanks for tuning in for yet another episode. It's going to be a great 2026. I'm excited about this coming year.
Me too.
Good things are ahead. So until we see you next time, friends, we wish you grace
and peace.